ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Healthmakers interview. The ShareCare Healthmakers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today we'll be listening to Dr. William Mobley, Chair of the Department of Neurosciences at University of California, San Diego, and a leading expert on Down syndrome and Alzheimer's disease. He'll discuss the surprising link between Down syndrome and Alzheimer's.
First of all, I didn't discover the link between Down syndrome and Alzheimer's disease. That was way before my time. Wonderful physicians working at UCSF and other places in New York had discovered that many, many years ago. Nathan Malamud and any number of other doctors were involved in finding that link. So that wasn't me. I think the aha moment for me was when we were doing studies in a mouse model of Down syndrome and showed that by removing just one copy of one gene, the extra copy of APP, that there was no more degeneration of these neurons that are known to die in Alzheimer's disease and Down syndrome. That was it for me. I guess others would have said, of course that was the answer. But I thought, no, with all these different genes, it can't be as simple as APP, and it's not. It's not just one gene. But it made a huge difference, enough of a difference, that I said, now we've got to go after this. Now we've got to do our best to understand how this happens to help people with Down syndrome, hopefully to prevent the Alzheimer's disease that occurs in Down syndrome, and maybe by doing so, will help the rest of us. For the other genetic forms of Alzheimer's disease, it seems likely that the same underlying mechanism is relevant. Maybe not precisely the same, but there's an underlying mechanism that you can use to link too many copies of APP, which occur in some families with Alzheimer's disease, too many copies of APP and Down syndrome, and changes in APP or its processing enzyme in other families. So there's a kind of nice commonality in genes that focuses on mechanism. I think that's a very powerful line of reasoning. Then how do you fix it, though? How does it relate to sporadic Alzheimer's disease? And I think the pathology is so similar, including this pathology involving these structures that move back and forth in axons, that I think something similar will be found there. I think we're pretty far along. So we know that an extra copy of APP in Down syndrome is a big problem. The question is, what is it about that extra copy of APP? And we think we know now that there are several processing products of APP, smaller fragments of APP, that cause the cell to get sick, and very possibly get sick in a way that disrupts the way that information moves from the ends of axons, which are these long projections from neurons, to the cell body and back again. We think that's part of the story, maybe even a very important part of the story. I think the thing that surprises me is how long the brain suffers quietly before you start having whole networks fall apart and people not being able to remember aspects of recent engagements, events, and facts. You know, it must mean that there's this enormous reserve in the brain that puts up with a lot of craziness, misconnections, things that don't work very well, for a long time before whatever reserve, we'll call it, is gone, and now you're dealing with a system that, in which even subtle changes seem to really compromise its ability to function. If you talk to a room of people who care for people with Alzheimer's disease, you'll ask them, do you notice any changes from day to day or even hour to hour? And almost all of them put their hands up. You know, my mental image is it's the light bulb, just not quite tightly screwed in. And when the wind blows, it flickers, right? So in the normal brain, it's tightly wound. It's tightly screwed in. But as a result of loosening of these connections in the brain, there must be a progressive failure rate in signal transmission that ultimately turns the light bulb off. Well, I don't know if it's been so surprising as just helpful. So it turns out that genes really make a difference. An extra copy of one gene makes a big difference in Down syndrome. And so the gratifying thing about the linear thinking that we do is that genes make a difference. Too much of a gene makes a difference that can cause a disease, and that going after defining which genes are involved and how they work is an entree to therapy. And in Down syndrome, I think the therapies will come. You know, 8 years ago, when I would talk to people about Down syndrome, it's too difficult to understand, too complex to study, and too late to make a difference. And there were no clinical trials, no rational clinical trials. And now, there's a clinical trial that's ongoing from Roche. There'll be another clinical trial, I hope, begin next year, and a different way of approaching Down syndrome. And I think there's four or five or six targets out there that are really rational targets for helping kids and adults with Down syndrome. So they all come from understanding what genes and mechanisms are at play. They all target those genes and mechanisms to turn it back to normal, if you will. In the case of the Alzheimer's disease-related work, yes. The approaches we would use are approaches that almost certainly would be of relative value, perhaps great value, in people with Alzheimer's disease. There are anticholinesterase medicines. There's memantine that helps to modulate memory. They do work. They're not disease-modifying, but they work. They are a big benefit to patients with Alzheimer's disease and some of those with Down syndrome. But they're not the disease-modifying treatments that you'd like to say, you know, now we've made a real change. I don't think I know of any non-traditional therapies that have been really looked at very carefully. Most of what you talk about with patients with Alzheimer's disease is using the standard medications, making sure that they sleep well, that they eat well, that they exercise well, that there's a social network that they find themselves in. Those are the things that we recommend typically to the Alzheimer's patients. We'd say the same thing to somebody with Down syndrome and their family. I think we're close to a disease-modifying treatment. What I mean by that is we're not just dealing with the side effects of this disorder, but we're starting to stick our wrenches into the basic mechanism. One part of this mechanism has to do with the processing of this protein called APP. I work on Alzheimer's disease because I work on Down syndrome. And you may know that every person with Down syndrome has all the brain pathology of Alzheimer's disease by age 40. And that most of them, by age 60, will have also further lost cognition, will have demented, if you will. Down syndrome is the single richest source of Alzheimer's disease in the world. I mean, there are 400,000 people in the U.S. who have Down syndrome that are absolutely confined to a life that will eventuate in Alzheimer's disease. If you look between ages 35 and 40 at the brain, postmortem, it has all this pathology that you expect to see in Alzheimer's disease. If you ask what's the average age at which those people begin to show cognitive decline over from their baseline, 53. If you ask how many have dementia by age 60, more than 60%. If you ask at what point do 90% of those people, if they survive, have dementia, and it's 73. So it's quite clear the pathology begins well before the onset of dementia, that the pathology is likely to be much more subtle than the typical Alzheimer's disease pathology, meaning that the onset of early changes probably predates by a decade. You know, the pathological findings you see on postmortem examination, and that both of those precede by many years the dementia. What a thing it would be for me if in my life I could say sometime in the future, you know, one thing I did was I helped find a way with thousands of other colleagues that I have in the world. I found a way, helped find a way to prevent Alzheimer's disease in people with Down syndrome. What a great thing that would be. It would make me incredibly happy. I mean, that would be the best.
That was Dr. William Mobley from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.